Anyway, I want to start by echoing what David said about online monitoring systems. We also have the intelligence system in our plant, and I'm not trying to promote any particular system here, but the value of having an online grading system essentially is, especially these days in the last couple of years, we've seen more customers wanting to achieve, thank you, like 31 color, 3-leaf, and then they're looking for a certain staple in order to achieve premiums. Well, when you have an online system, and with the intelligence system, you have something called AutoSync now. And what that means is that after you run for several days, you'll send your samples off to the USDA to be graded, and their system will then automatically update and calibrate your cameras and your sensors in your plant so that you're reading, you have a high level of confidence that you're reading just like the USDA is grading. And so the value of that is hard, you know, without doing a study on it and getting ready with some numbers, is really quite tremendous, because if you're, for example, targeting a 31.3 grade and you don't realize, because you don't have any online information, that you're putting out a bunch of 2-leaf and you're running through extra machines or you're using more heat in order to try to achieve that 3-leaf, but you don't realize you're actually putting out a 2-leaf, we could save a lot of money if you think about it. Not even talking about what the value to the grower right now, I'm talking about the gen value of perhaps not running those burners as high, trying to achieve what you hope is a 3-leaf. So in other words, back off on your burners, maybe bypass a couple of machines for a while, and achieve that 3-leaf instead of throwing that extra value out that could be going into the bale, into the trash, and put the weight in the bale for the farmer. So I echo his sentiments on any type of online grading system. I know there are other types out there that they don't have to be at these different points throughout the plant, but if you have one even at the bale, if you have a large run on a grower coming up, several hundred bales or maybe 1,000 bales, a run or a big field, and you can get some data off those first few bales on what that grade is, it gives you an idea as to maybe what you need to start, the adjustments you need to make back farther back in the system to achieve that optimum grade, to put the most weight in the bale and at the same time reduce your costs of running that cotton. So anyway, real briefly, I'm going to focus on three areas that I decided to talk about on this particular topic. When the topic first came up, we were talking about energy savings at the gen, then it kind of transformed into just cost savings. And so in thinking of this, I'm looking at three areas. First is air pressure, air system pressures, like air systems. Secondly, module management, and then thirdly, labor. 2 years ago when I was involved in this panel, do I just hit the down key?
Forward?
Yeah. Okay. Two years ago, I spoke about converting our first stage tower dryers into jet dryers, and we saw a tremendous increase in our reduction in our therms per bale consumed by going to a system that had less static pressure involved and that had a little more turbulence, a little more air to cotton interaction in it. And we documented some pretty decent therm per bale savings. Then subsequently, during that season, in the middle of the season, we were trying to evaluate the gain in insulating a drying system. And it just so happened we had we decided to do the insulation job after 1 month of running the plant. It happened to occur on the same day that our gas meter was read. And we saw a tremendous savings in insulating our first stage drying system as well. Well, this is the second stage we did a couple years later. And our typical rule is we're always looking for at least a 2.5 year return on investment. This project did not achieve that. With our bales, our volumes being so low now, you don't have that divisor in there to get your 2.5 year return on investment as you do when you have a lot of bales to gin. But we banked on the fact that, well, if we have a wet season, we're in the southeast, if we do have a wet harvest, we know that if we install these things, we're going to have less cost in getting the cotton to the point we want it than we did with our towers. And we know that we can just run in here with a contractor in a couple of days, insulate these things if we start having to run the burners a lot. That was sort of a big unknown, but what we did know was that we were going to reduce our static in the system, the static pressure, by 12 to 14 inches of water gauge. And what that meant was that we could slow some fans down and still achieve the same volume flows, which equals the same velocities, our target velocities for moving the product through the system. So the point is, this is not from this season, the previous season, we lowered our demand, kilowatt demand, by 67 kilowatts in that particular season by slowing down the fans on the second stage of the plant by putting in a lower pressure type system, and that's the point here. And you know, with our high demand charge in our area, and we had 3 meter reads that season, we were looking at over $3,000 in savings in demand charges alone. You add maybe a couple 300 to that for usage that season as well, which I didn't put on there. So the point is, if you can get a pneumatic engineer into your plant and evaluate your systems, if you haven't done that before, we're not talking about having to invest large sums of money necessarily, but you may be able to slow some fans and some systems down and save yourself, you know, if you add it up, some money over time. The second topic, we're talking about management, not only at the gym level, but out in the field of the incoming product. Steve Searcy and Shea Simpson did some studies in the last several years which documented, and I probably need to study that a little bit more, but I know they documented the loss in value of cotton to the grower based on getting wet spots in modules, or because of poorly shaped modules, or because of damaged tarps. And the value to the grower, the effect was quite tremendous if you read that paper. I think what's not as obvious sometimes is what's happening at the gin when we let this sort of thing happen. When we don't address these sort of issues on the module yard or in the field soon enough, or if asphalt is great, I mean, if you want to put the money into putting asphalt down and draining water away from modules, that's great. It's not necessary. Just putting modules in a place where the air ground is crowned nicely, where the water will drain away, where the module doesn't just soak up all that water and cause problems for the grower in grade and turnout, but it's also going to eventually cause problems in the plant in terms of slower production. That's going to equal losses in gin at your operation, possible choke-ups, and problems at the gin stand. Module tarps are quite expensive, but, and I'm thinking about maybe looking into this a little bit more in the future, trying to evaluate the cost of, the gen cost of downtime, slower production because of wet spots in modules or soaking up too much water because the modules are in puddles. But, you know, you got to have a good tarp management program. We have guys, you see the black pieces of tape. We have guys who've done this year after year that we inspect our own tarps. And we have a threshold if it's been wind whipped and there's some thin spots. Depending on the severity of that, we may just discard that module tarp and go with another one. Or, you know, small pinholes or what have you. If it's just a small tear or something, we'll patch it. But there's a fine line between, is that tarp still okay or not? So it's kind of a tough call, but it's something that people need to look at. And besides the downtime and the slower production and all, there's also, back to the energy issue, a big potential for a lot of wasted money. Here's an example. If we had, say, a 30,000 bale run and 10% of the modules were affected because of these sort of reasons, when they could have been avoided, then, and our number one burner air system, we're in about 23,000 CFM of air. And if we, because of wet spots in modules, wet bottom modules, or problem modules, had to run 300 degrees Fahrenheit instead of 120, that'd require another 4.5 decatherms per hour burner fuel consumed. And, you know, the 10% is 3,000 bales. If on our gym we were still able to run 36 bales an hour, which would be very doubtful, that'd be about 83 hours of operation, which at our gas rate would end up, we'd spend $5,600 more if we could run at that rate, drying that cotton because we didn't manage it properly from the field to the yard. So that's just an example. That's not even including if we had to run the second stage burners because it was so wet. So module management, I believe, is very important, especially in times where we can't put a lot of money into projects because the bales just aren't there to give us that return. So we need to manage what we're bringing into our systems. And then finally, labor management. David touched on this. We're trying to cross-train our employees more. And we have a kind of a suspect labor force in our area. It's hard to keep people on board. There's some sort of system going on. They work a few days and they're gone. And so we kind of have to, we've learned to run with fewer people. David mentioned running with six folks. We typically have seven people on a crew. And in the last couple of seasons, we have, as people have gone away, we have run with fewer for extended periods of time just to try to bring that cost per bale down on our labor costs. And a key to that is making an extra effort to encourage veteran employees to return, because those are the ones who understand the safety components of your process. They're the ones who might be able to drive a module truck and bring your module to the gen, and then go in and make rounds in the plant and help your genner out, watching for potential problem spots and keeping an eye on the gen for you. And so cross-training and bringing good people back is another thing that we've been trying to achieve. So I'm done, Harrison. Thank you all.
Not trying to rush.
That's okay.